the Yahrzeit now, Chana Bas Chaim on the 5th of Iyar, the maternal great grandmother, and Chana Bas Bavad Eliyahu, maternal grandmother on the 6th of Iyar. May there be a special neshama for that. Good evening, Rabbi Isai. Good evening, Rabbi Moshe. Nice to have you aboard. We'll start off with the written questions, Rabbi Isai, and then we will go from them to the non-written questions. We have one freezer left over Chal and Shabbos use in the coming week or next Shabbos, and I think that the answer is yes, you're allowed to know the Yehuda says to prevent something from getting spoiled. There's no Isra Achono, and you have to put a challah away. So if you want to put it away in the fridge, you put it in the freezer. I don't see any problem with it, just because it will be efficacious for the entire week. It needs to be put away. Are you allowed to use pre-medicated Band-Aids in Shabbos? The question number four in Shabbos. And in Simon Shem Chavches, we know that one should only use before if there's a chashash of real illness. Less than that, for minor ailments, one should not use something premedicated. In Pashtus, you should not use a premedicated Band-Aid on Shabbos unless there is a significant concern of infection. How can a minyan be conducted on porches? We have tzokim from many gedolei olam, and really it's based on the Chofetz Chaim, and Siman Nun Hei in the Bar Halacha. The Chofetz Chaim allows, as long as the people can see each other, that you can make a minyan in that regard. And you can conduct Kriyas HaTorah in that fashion from the porch. If everyone can see each other, the houses and gardens are generally not so close together to allow for this. There it's just, well, they're closer and they're stacked, and the people can readily see each other. And when it comes to Kriyas HaTorah, what the psak of many gedolim is based on is the fact that the Ashkenazic practice is that even a lo aleinu, a person that's blind, cannot see the Oisius and the Torah is still given an Aliyah. And I once had occasion to bring someone to Rabbi Yoshin to solve with this issue. And Rabbi Yoshin, she wanted to know if he should stop taking Aliyahs. And Rabbi Yoshin said he could. And then he insisted, he said, maybe it's better I shouldn't. And Rabbi Yoshin was very, very firm with the fact that we paskin, that one is allowed to take Aliyahs, even if one is incapable of saying, and many people are paskin, that this is not a situation which is different than that. Since, in fact, if we can rely upon the reading of the Bar Kriya, then if we can rely upon the counting of the reading of the Bar Kriya, if a person can see, then we can rely upon the Kriya of the Bar Kriya, even if a person could see, but it doesn't come adjacent to the Sefer Torah. And this is the accepted practice presently under the coronavirus restrictions. This is what takes place in the Kosel of Amarovi. But a small number of people that they do allow in the old city to make the yonim there. They keep social distancing, and even for the Kriyas HaTorah, they do not come together. And this is the Pesach of Melech Gedolei Olam. And until we have a Pesach from the Gedolei HaRabbonim here in the United States, and in conjunction, obviously, with the Rabbonim of Atzolo, that it's time to reopen the shuls upon that time and conduct the yonim in whatever fashion, at that time, we will do so. Until that time, it's unfortunately our responsibility to continue davening b'yichidus with none of these minyanim trying to make all types of kuntzim, except, I said, if people live close enough together that they have to stay actually in their own house, and have like the porch minyanim in Eretz Yisrael, you stay in your own house, and there are enough people that from one porch to the next, and one family can see the next, one family can hear each other, one can conduct the minyan in that fashion. Should the Sukkim of Kadosh, Kadosh, and Baruch Kvod be recited with Pshat and Birchas Priyashma and Uvon Tzion? There is such a view in the Shulchan Aruch, it might be preferable, but it's not our practice to do so, so I'm not currently encouraging people to do that either, just daven normally. The question is that, does it need a minyan to recite Kadosh, Kadosh? And there's a machlokus about it. Our practices to be made though. There are those that are machmer to say the truth, but it's not generally done. And therefore, I dissuade people from going in that particular direction to stop it regularly. Should Shema, as he said, with Kel Nel Manelach Nemum davening without a minyan? And that is, in fact, the Pesach of Rabbi Yosha, that when a person davens B'yichidus, he should follow that view in the Shulchan Aruch. It says he should say Kel Melech Nemon as he's beginning the Kriya Shema, and that's for the purpose of filling it out to 248 words, which correspond to all the parts of the human body. Is there any problem? This is a classic shayla from Hilchos Shabbos. Is there any problem with playing the look Scrabble on Shabbos? The Scrabble tries to fit into a frame. Now, it depends how the frame is. In my examination, if you turn the frame upside down and the pieces fall out and they don't click into place, I don't see any problem. If they click into place and we turn it upside down and the pieces wouldn't fall out, then that would be an issue of case. But just merely because they're in some frame which holds them very loosely does not constitute case. So check your set. I have not checked all the ones that exist, so I can't tell you. Now, was one allowed to keep score with Scrabble on Shabbos by putting a bookmark or like in a page on the page number? And the answer is the following, that if you typically play Scrabble during the week, any activity which is typically associated with writing is prohibited on Shabbos for concern this examined the Rabbon and Shem Yichta that a person may come to write. If a person does not normally play Scrabble during the week and he only plays on Shabbos, and he always uses a bookmark, a page in the book, to note the score, then he's permissible for him to do so. But if he does play during the week and he keeps score in a regular fashion by writing, then any activity which typically involves writing is prohibited to be done on Shabbos. Now, there's a very complicated question. I cannot go in this form into the answer. The glory, there's a pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim. It says, the Rabbeinu Shem came down on Har Sinai, and the Onan covered it for 6 days, and Hashem called the Moshe on the seventh day from within the cloud. This occurred before or after the Matan Torah at Har Sinai. And the truth is, this is a sugya in Shas, which deals with it. There are two different views in the Tanoim about it, so it's beyond what we could explore in this forum, but it is a sugya in Shas. The question is a very good question. Well, we recite the Shalom Aleichem when we come home. The Gemara says that if we return home from Shul on Friday night, we're accompanied by two malachim, the Malach Toiv and the Malach Havolo. And if the house is truly in the proper order for Shabbos, so the Malach Toiv gives a bracha that Kein Yehil Ratzon Shabbos Haba in Bal Korcho, and against his will, the Malach Havolo has to say Amen, give this affirmation. And that's the basis of the Shalom Aleichem. I presume that we can assume that if we shomer Shabbos, we have the schus that these malachim accompany us and to our homes on Friday night as well. It's a very interesting problem. It's probably a bit controversial, but I'll tell you what I believe. Is there a problem with making shlissel challah? There are many communities that make shlissel challah, challah in the shape of a key, challah with a key in it, on the Shabbos, the first Shabbos after Pesach. And I'm very, very leery and weary about being involved in this practice. In Central Europe and Eastern Europe, it is a widely observed custom of the non-Jews. And it seems to be a non-Jewish custom which migrated into the Jewish community. Therefore, I'm concerned that it reflects practices which deal with other religions and other beliefs. And therefore, I do recommend that we stay away. Mr. Vura states that a woman shouldn't count Sperasim with a bracha because it's likely she would make mistakes. That other rabbis know you. The mistake, the way I look at it is men daven Marv every night, and we are consequently, we have a reminder to stop at the end of Marv to then count Sperasim. Women don't daven Marv and consequently don't have a reminder to count Sperasim. So it's more likely that women are going to make a mistake, to get a night and count the spirit of men, and we have enough difficulties. I think that's the view of the Mishnah Berurah in this regard. And women essentially should be part of it because it's a mitzvah to say Shazman Groma. It's a mitzvah which is time limited. So in my own house, the practice is that the women count the sphere. If I now, presently that I'm home, they listen to the bracha that I make. And if they get Be'ez Hashem, as they usually do, up in the Ayin Hara, they count all the nights. And the 49th night, they make the bracha because then it's not possible to get any more. But again, this is our personal practice. There are others, in fact, in the women do make the brachas from great rabbonim, and it's also a legitimate practice, but it is not my personal practice. I follow the view of the Mishnah in this regard. How does the saying of Tillim work? Many of the chapters you should relate to David's trials and tribulations. Some of the chapters directly relate to what we might have, but also request help specific to David, like saving me from Shaul. I think the notion of the Tillim is David HaMelech was the voice of Klal Yisrael. By identifying, he was led a very, very difficult life. Tzoros after tzoros after tzoros. Tranquility was not the order of the day for David HaMelech. And therefore, by articulating the voice, we're using the voice of David HaMelech. And the notion is that we should connect with the Rabbeinu Shalom, just as David HaMelech called out the Eis Tzorosei to the Rabbeinu Shalom. So we are also calling out, but we're using the voice of David HaMelech by which to cry out to the Rabbeinu Shalom. And David HaMelech identified really the greatest depth of feeling in the human being, which is evoked by the Tillim. And that's what we follow, the Tillim of David HaMelech, the Tillim that we have. Very interesting, Shaila, a utensil which is not metal, it has a metal handle. And should it be toivel with a brocha, without a brocha? And I would think it should be, I believe it should be toivel, because the handle is helping in the general function of the kli. I would consider it like a minor of the kli, even though it's not exactly the foundation of the kli, but you don't use a kli, a pot, without its handle. A handle is an essential part of using the pot. And therefore, I would consider it something like a minor as an adjunct to the pot itself to assist us in using it. But since it's only an adjunct, it should be done without a bracha. What is the Rav Sheet on a cappella music doing Sphira? And in general, I'm not a fan of a cappella music. I think technically it may not violate the halacha, but it certainly trashes the spirit of the halacha. It's meant, the purpose of this is to nullify the restriction on spirit, so just to rip it out that the Isra of music no longer exists. We found a way, we're smart enough to get around the halacha. And I'm generally not a fan of such things. And I've often said I consider it novel Mershus HaTorah, acting within the bounds of the halacha, but acting hardly improperly. So generally, I'm not in favor of a cappella music. An interesting question about the Seder. It's interesting that the Brisker Rav addresses this question. The Shulchan Aruch says it's good to have three people at the Seder, so when we come to Hallel, and the Baal HaBayis intones the Hodu, Hashem Ki Tov and Hallel, that there should be, in that chapter, there should be two others to respond to him each time that he says, Hodu Hashem Ki Tov, Yom Chasda, Yom Ano Yisrael, etc. Each time there should be two people to respond with Hodu Hashem Ki Tov. So normally, it's nice if you have three males at the Seder. And this year was not necessarily a time to have three males at the Seder. Whoever left to live in your house is there. So I saw in the Haggadah of the Brisker Rav says that the wife and even Tanim, even young children, can be part of those two that answer the Hallel, and they're considered part of the three for this. I'm not sure exactly what the intention of the Shaila is, so I'll try to answer it from all the different sides. You know, nowadays, it's hard to get out, to get rid of Sheamus. So what happens if I have Sheamus in my house? So someone asked, can we simply put Sheamus in a plastic bag and throw it away in the garbage? And the answer is, it depends. If it's real Sheamus, it's a safer, which is warm, so that you can never be disposed of by putting it in a plastic bag. We have to put it to the side and wait for Ezra Hashem until life returns to normal. And we'll dispose of it as normal Sheamus. If it's things which are intended just for temporary use, sheets that children bring home from school, etc., and intended to be discarded afterwards, those we can discard by placing them in plastic. This is an interesting shaila. It's a very common shaila in today's world. And an unusual chumrah from Shlomo Zalman Arbas, a tzal, it's discussed in the second chaylet of the Shmura Shabbos Machos. It was a chapter on HaFroshes Challah. I think it's Mem Dalet, if I remember correctly. And the question is, I made a dough which has the shear of challah. I made 5-6 pounds of dough, and now I'm cutting it in half, and I'm going to bake less than a shir challah this week, put the second shir challah into the freezer, and bake it another week. So under those circumstances, the Shlomo Zalman Orbach says, if I'm not baking it in one shot, I should not recite the bracha on challah. I should take challah if I'm going to use this meat, but without a bracha. If I'm giving some of the challah away to someone else, that does not change the fact that since I presently, I'm the one that owns it, and I'm giving away what's mine, and at the moment that the dough is being made, it's being baked, belongs to me, and there's no issue of my making a bracha on the challah in such a case. Tefillahs before laning. There are tefillahs that we say before laning on Shabbos and Yom, such as Allah Kol Yiskadel, Avarachamim, Huyiracham, Huskim, and the tefillah after the 13 midas on Yom Tov. Can, should one say any of these without any midas? No. These are tefillahs which are intended to be said the tzibur when the Sefer Torah is taken out, and a lot of them come in fact from Sechta Sefer. They're not tefillahs which are intended for Yechidim. And therefore, a yochid should not be reciting them. There's no, you know. But of course, if there's an Easter or not, they're not intended for that purpose. And therefore, it's a tefillah which is intended for the rabbim, and it will be yechidus, we shouldn't be reciting them. There are two versions of Pitim HaKtiras, one at the end of davening after, and one during Karbonos before Pesukta Dezimra. So we say both of them each day. How about before Mincha? Either version, the person should say, Keterah, the parshas of Keterah, it's good to say the Keterah, the Ramos says at the end of davening, Nusach Sfar is part of the Siddur, and Nusach Ashkenaz and Eretz Yisrael is part of the Siddur, and Nusach Ashkenaz and Chutz La'aretz is not part of the Siddur, but it's a nice idea to recite Pitim HaKtiras. And the slight variations between the one that's in the end of the davening on Shabbos, or the one that's in the middle of the Kabbonis, are not material. One could recite either version. Some, in fact, recited before Mincha as a basis for that too, but most of the myths of Ashkenaz do not do so. Okay, I think we finished the questions that were submitted. I do want to turn back to one question which was asked last week, and I had occasion to look further into it, and that is the counting of the 100 brachas. Does it start in the morning from Shacharis until the nighttime, or does it start at Maariv and go through Mincha the next day to the end of the day, till Shkia Sachama? And I did find that there are various views in the Acharim. This is debated. There are different shittas about it. Some say it goes in the daytime. Some say even they're so restrictive in the daytime that it only goes from the morning until Shkia Sachama. It happens if Shkia Sachama doesn't count. Some alas say it goes from the night before. The Chofetz Chaim is very confusing in the way it was presented, because he starts off talking about Hamapel. Then he discusses all the brachos that one makes during the day. And then he goes back to Mara, very out of sync. If he wanted to start from the night, he should have started with Mara, then gone to Hamapel, and then go to the morning. So the Mishnah Berurah is confusing, but upon very careful investigation, the fact that he has a special issue on Shabbos is indicative that he's counting the day after the night. Because if on Shabbos we counted the night after the day, we would have little problem. In fact, we might even have less problem than we have on the weekdays. Because I think we would come out, I think, because of Kiddush, and the fact that we have to have the two suddas during the day, and we have Avdolah, that we would come out, I think, with even more brochas than we have during the week. I think on my count, 92 instead of 91 on the weekdays. So apparently, after careful examination of the Mishnah Berurah, it seems the Mishnah Berurah's view is you start from Maariv the night before, and then Shacharis and Mincha, and you end when the day ends at Shkia, apparently. Or perhaps at nightfall, but not later than that. So that's what seemed to view. So that should be the Iker view. But again, I said the other view, the one which I mentioned last week, is also found in the Acharon, not to be dismissed.
switching to the questions live portion.
So, Rabbi Hecht, how are you?
Baruch Hashem. Has anything more happened about giving the Rav the kelim to sell to the guys because of the no mikveh business?
Are you talking that a person now? What should a person do? We have to pay
yeah.
a person
yeah.
to buy new kelim now?
Right.
If a person needs to buy new kelim now, they should let me know, and I will arrange a mechira usually on that day itself. And in fact, it did take place, I think, yesterday. Someone called me that they just received new kelim that they need. And I arranged whatever I was able to arrange within a couple of hours that they were sold. So if someone needs to avail himself of that, they should let me know, and Baruch Hashem will take care of it.
Wonderful.
Yossi Englund.
Hello, Rabbi. How are you?
Baruch Hashem.
I had another question. After using Kiddush Cup Friday night.
I'm not sure of the Metzias. I need to discuss it further with you, and that's why I didn't answer it. I don't want to take it up here, but we have to discuss exactly what you mean. I'm not sure what it was meant.
Okay.
Richard Gawanto.
Yeah, they have some sunscreen that's like a spray, like a fine mist spray.
Yes.
It's not like at all like a lotion. Can you spray that on Shabbos and use it on Shabbos, smear it in on Shabbos if it's just like a liquid?
I don't see any ease to doing it. I don't see it as refuah in any regard. It's done by healthy people. It's not merapi anything. It's a screen. You know, I don't see it as any different than putting a sunshade over yourself. Aaron Avner, how are you?
Good, Baruch Hashem. I asked a question about the Seamus, but what about Mar Mekomos? What do we do with Mar Mekomos?
Same thing. Mar Mekomos are intended for short-term use.
So you can just put it in a bag.
Yes, it has Hashem's name in it. Hashem's name, I mean Yud-Kei-Vokti. Yud-Yud is not Hashem's name. Yud-Yud was created by the printers because they didn't want to write Hashem's name. But if it has Yud-Kei-Vokti or Elohim, etc., one of the Seamus Hashem, then it means real Seamus.
Okay, thank you.
David Notes.
Yeah,
we can't hear you. There's too much feedback.
Okay, I was wondering about the hollow. Is there any Indian to do to use three people? Have one person leading and two people answering? Not by the Seder, just like Rosh Chodesh or whatever?
I don't know. We're not knowing like that. So I can't tell you there's an Indian. I can't see why it's not an Indian, but it's not our practice. You know, when people daven the Yechidus, they daven the Yechidus.
Okay.
Who is on the iPhone?
With the raised hand. You raised their hand, and you're not the... Right,
Elliot Katz.
LG Style 04, wherever you are. Ryan.
The Rav talked about these porch minyanim. I had heard somewhere, though, that if you're on other opposite sides of the street where cars drive, you cannot be counted together.
I don't know that according to the Chofetz Chaim that's a problem. He does the only thing that he says seems to say, as long as you can't see each other, it's fine. I don't know that we need to make any more restrictions than that.
Rabbi, I'll try again. David Grabard. On Kiddush Levana, if you say it by yourself, do you say Shalom Aleichem or not?
Say it to your wife. That's all three times.
Okay.
You can't give shalom to yourself, right. So I'll give it to your wife.
Okay.
Richie Gawanda.
Just again on the porch minyanim. So if your houses are close enough, And does it matter if there's garbage cans in between?
If they don't smell, I don't see a problem.
So basically, even in our neighborhood, if you can...
if the porches are closer together, you stay on your own porch, you know? You're going off your porch. If you're in your own house, on your porch, and there's someone, you know, across the way that has his porch, and you're able to hook up like that to make a minion, that you can see each other and hear each other, I don't have a problem. But, you know, if people are going to start to go and make outdoor minyanim and start, as what's happened in other places, start to push together as if this crisis is over, that I'm against.
Does it matter if there's fences in between?
The fences are not relevant to it. What's relevant is each person be on their own porch, not outside. I saw Rabbi Yoshev said that once you sell Kelman of Neman, I was noyig until now like a different shita, but now seeing that Rabbi Yoshev was in favor of saying Kelman of Neman when davening alone, I adopted that practice. Aaron Avner.
Yeah, I have a question about Meir Balanis. I was told by someone.
Yes, and we don't know how such things school us. We don't know how they work. So that's it. That's, you know, maybe, I don't know. Maybe the Kabbalah can explain them. And maybe they know how they work, but they can't get explain them to us. We certainly don't know how they work. So I can't get involved in Kabbalistic things.
Okay, fine. Thank you.
Let's hear from some other people, Rabbi. We haven't heard from them till now.
Rabbi Walter?
Yes. Hey, David, how are you? All the way from Milwaukee.
From Milwaukee.
I talked to two of your Rabbanim today, Rabbi Sian and Rabbi Mechel. I speak to both of them today.
So, this is a shaila concerning over here the state paskin that a religious gathering smaller than 10 people is legal. So if you have 9 people in one room and another 5 people in another room, you can't make a minyan. But isn't there a shita Ritvaz that the only way to get to that second room?
Thomas Chaim says that if you can see each other, you can make a minyan. It's a Bira Alochus and Mendunay. Check it out.
If you can see each other, even though you're in a separate room completely?
Yes, yes, yes.
And both of them can say Kaddish?
They can just have all the facets of a minyan, yes.
Each part.
Yes, and that's the way that you're going to show that also.
Like, and it means it could be two totally separate rooms as long as they see each other.
Yes.
Say it.
Send everyone my best out from the beginning.
We'll do.
Looking forward when I can come see you personally again.
Mitz Hashem, Mitz Hashem. We're looking forward to that day.
Okay, Baez is Hashem.
Welcher.
Yeah.
Yesterson.
Yes, Gary.
Okay. Unfortunately, throughout the United States, we don't have minyanim in shuls. And there are a lot of availim, unfortunately, in our community and throughout the U.S. Would it be advisable, since they're not going to be able to go to shul for many, many weeks, that those individuals should hook up with people in Eretz Yisrael? There's organizations called yiskor.com and make sure that a kolel person would do the kaddish for that neshama for this next several months. I mean, what recourse do those people have?
There are two recourses. I've told anyone that's asked me this question that there are groups in Eretz Yisrael. There are some groups in the Old City. If you actually live in the Old City, they allow very small groups of people to daven at the kaisel, the army and the police. So there are minyanim taking place, and there are organizations that will say kaddish for you. And apparently there's also a website of the Nachman Haredi. One thing that can close down and they can't send everybody home is the army. So the Nachman Haredi is functioning and they are saying Kaddish for people and there are websites. I don't know which they are. Offhand, but if you know anyone on Eretz Yisrael that has access to a minyan. And the other thing is, and that's I've told people all along, there are two big things that we do for the Niftorah. One is say Kaddish, and the other is to learn Mishnayos. So if we're not able to say Kaddish, we should learn Mishnayos somebody. It's a very, very good stress.
Shkai.
Yaakov Meltzer.
Yeah. You have to unmute yourself. Yaku.
Let's see if we have any further questions that we didn't take care of yet. I think there are a couple. I want to fish them out.
Can I ask a follow-up question about the Kriya Shema and the Kalmel of Neman? Is it better to say to rely on the Vavs and Vyatsiv after, or should we do Kalmel of Neman?
We also should to say Kalmel of Neman, and since I saw recently that that's his Psach, that's what I would have to say. What to do if a person wants to eat supper and it's, let's say, it's close to the Zman, especially in the evening, it's close to the Zman of Shkia, it's close to the Zman of Marav. Kibalti from Rav Moshe Zatzal that you don't need a human shayna. You need anything that'll remind you. And Rav Moshe used to say, take a pillow, sit there and put it on your pillow so you won't be able to go to sleep without davening Marav. Nowadays, we all have cell phones. So set a cell phone for a little 15 minutes before the Zman. Set a cell phone for if it's for Mincha, if it's for Marav. So set it after the time that you know you're definitely going to be finished eating. Set it for 11 o'clock. So whatever, let's say you're normally up past 11. So there's no way you can forget because the cell phone is going to ring and remind you to doubt. And that takes care of the problem.
Just a reiteration that if you don't know how this, right, if you go to participants, there's a way to raise your hand virtually. If you don't figure there's, and then you press that and we'll see it, it'll pop up on our screen. So you could also try to raise your hand like that. It's better than, because we don't see everybody on our screen. Condition. So I see Ronnie's raising his hand anyhow. But
Hillel sells it.
Hi,
Ravi. Yeah.
Is there any idea of having like a specific makom kavua, so to speak, where you're davening when you're davening at home nowadays?
L'chayra is a din of makom kavua. I don't think that's tafka din barav. If you're davening at home, you should also have a makom kavua.
Meaning like you should always
have a gemara. I don't see why you should have a makom kavua.
Is there any preference as to what that room like should be? Like it, you're not allowed to daven.
One which is most favorable circumstances for davening. That's what it should
be. Bedroom? Is that a problem davening in a bedroom?
No, there's no problem. Some say you should make the beds if you're davening in a bedroom. You could daven in a bedroom. I don't find it usually the most conducive
place
to daven.
It depends if it's the most quiet for some people.
That's true. If it's the most quiet, it may be the best. Rav Mendel's Lachlik.
Hello, Rabbi. How are you? If we baked a cake in a Fleischik's oven, can you drink that cake with milk?
Assuming that you made the cake when there was no Fleischik's actually in the oven, number one. Number two, when you finish with the Fleischik's, you open the door and let any vapor that's in the oven, if there was a buildup, escape, then you can bake a cake afterwards and actually put cream cheese on it if you want. And that's based on the Ramah, it's Kedilah Halacha, that's based on the Ramah.
And no Fleischik's in the oven means there's no spills either that are in the oven?
If there's spills, if it's a big spill, so I'll make sure it burns up first. Normally, if it's a small spill, it burns up on the spot.
And does that have to be that you didn't use the oven for 24 hours or just take it out and let this
steam? No, you can take the Fleischik's out, let the vapor out, and put it in right afterwards.
Okay. Thank you.
There.
Good night. What if a similar kind of question? Except, what if I want to heat up challah Friday night for shot for the sudas? I put it in the oven with the other Fleischik stuff in the oven. Some of them open, but it's already been cooked. The challah, it's already just
if the other things are giving off steam, then it's a problem. Otherwise, it really technically it's not a problem, and you have to make sure also to put aluminum foil under it that it doesn't rest directly on the rack. So it depends if the zayin in the oven at that.
Do we assume anything that's liquid, like chicken in the sauce that's open?
Anything that has liquid, if the oven is on, you should assume the zayin.
All right. Thank you.
Nosi Yishaya.
What's the proper way to kosher a microwave?
What is the proper way to kosher a microwave? Very simply, we're assuming that the bottom is not cheres. Nowadays, there are very few cheres.
What?
Things on the bottom, the turntable. So glass. Assuming, what?
It's glass.
So assuming that for some reason you have to kosher, you have to wash it out well, you should wait 24 hours, and then take a cup of water, spill some on the turntable, put the cup where you spill the water, and then put it on for about 10 minutes. By that time, you should feel heat on the walls and the steam. The water under the cup will heat up that place, which is underneath the cup, and the microwave will be kosher.
Thank you.
Richie Corker.
You wash parva items in a dishwasher by itself, whether it's a milchik dishwasher or a fleshik dishwasher, and it maintains its parva status.
I don't know if it's the most lechatchila thing to do, I'm not sure, but if you put soap in there and it's 100% clean, I would not ask for it. Okay, this basis to be made. Ronnie Schlanger.
So I sent another question. My sitter says that when you come into shul, you say Matovo Lecha Yaakov. So the question is, do you say it now when you're davening at home?
Listen, I don't know. When I went to Cheder, we started davening with Matovo.
So. Yeah, but it is. All right. Also, by the way, Yekas have a minute not to say Kel Melech Noaman.
Okay, so if you come from such a Kehila, that's fine.
Yeah. All right.
We're not talking about when there's a fixed minute from a well-established Kehila, the great Rabbonim, to change them at home. Michael.
Thank you, Rav. In the past, I've heard the Rav explain that times that you need to put, let's say, some aluminum foil down on the racks in the oven, you know, for the circumstances of fleshiks, milchiks. So I'm trying to figure out when was that condition said, for what purpose?
This, if you, let's say you generally use your oven for flations. Anything else that you put in, if you put a part of a thing in, you should put some aluminum foil underneath to make sure that you're not sitting down on some flation grease.
So the case that was described before about the cake going in, so the cake mamela is fine, but as far as the kli, you might want to put a piece of aluminum foil to keep it?
Okay. That's correct. You got it exactly right. Yes.
Hi, it's Yaffa. I had a question. I just wanted to clarify what the Rav just answered about the microwave. In our, we have only one microwave, and we use it for milchiks and fleishiks, but we keep the glass tray covered with a paper towel at all times. I had thought that if I cleaned out the microwave and just used a cup, set a cup with cold water on for 5 minutes to... And I can switch between milchiks and fleishiks.
It's preferable not to do it on the same day. There are a basis to do it on the same day, but it's preferable not to do it without a 24-hour hiatus in between. If you have occasion that you want to warm two different types of things, so at least one of them should be covered.
One of them should what? Be covered?
Covered, yes. So no steam escapes from it. Single cover.
So we have like over plate, we put a plastic cover on top of our plate, and then we put a paper towel over the plastic cover.
As long as it's covered on the top, you're not going to have problems. You know, you need something again on the bottom if you're using the plastic plates or paper towel, something to keep the thing separate.
So then we can do it on the same day.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
David Brachman.
The garbage cans that we put out before Yom Tov starts, we put out the garbage cans to be collected by the city. Can we bring the empty garbage cans back into the side of the house?
Yeah, I don't know exactly how the sanitation department works in Milwaukee. You know, we have over here three types of, at least three.
I'm
types.
Talking about the regular garbage.
Yeah, let me be specific.
Okay.
For the recycling things, the garbage cans are not looked at. Whether they have cardboard in them and paper or used bottles, since if we actually needed a box, or we needed a bottle, we would take it back from there. So we can't consider those things as being mukta. The actual garbage can is mukta because the garbage is mukta. So I don't bring them back up on Yom Tov. If I want to bring them back up, I push them up with my foot without picking them up.
Got it. So I mean, so l'chatchila b'etzem it's muksa. Even yes. though I do need it because I need to put my garbage there for the rest of Yom Tov.
Yeah, it's still muksa.
Just, at the end of the day, the kli itself, I'm not talking about the garbage. The garbage is out. The garbage
yeah, no, because the yuchad for muksa.
Even though, because in the house, the garbage can is considered muksa too. My regular garbage can.
It is muksa, yes.
You know, I can take out, but so I should not take out the garbage out of my kitchen.
Oh, it is because of grafsh over here. We'll let it take the garbage out of your house.
Out of my house, but yeah, that. But
I guess you can go straight to the front when you take it out and put it out on the sidewalk. So don't stop. Just go straight to the front.
Go straight. You can put it down wherever you got to put it down. But yes. There's no toelis. There's no toelis to that can. Outside of garbage, therefore it's totally muksa. But you're saying,
out of one house, what I tell people to do, you shouldn't have problems. Let's say you want to move it to the table to brush the crumbs directly into it. Take a couple of extra garbage bags and put it under the garbage bag that's accepting the garbage. So when you take it out, the extras are there, and then it'll be a kli that's for a boss, for Heter and Issa.
It's Issa. Ah, very good. Thank you.
Can I put something like on Shabbos? Can I put something like what David's question? Can I put like a piece of bread? Let's say my garbage is outside. There's always some kind of a food inside the garbage that's l'chora edible. So why would it not be a bus? Well,
once you put it in the garbage, we're not taking it out from there to eat again. So that's, you know.
So it's considered
that's it. At that point.
So I can push it with my foot though to bring it back. So I don't want to, if I don't want to get lost.
Richie, come on.
Yeah, if some food, hot food drops on a stovetop, is it a problem to eat it?
Usually not. I don't think it's muhsak that is hot food fell on that spot on the same day. It's usually not. You know, if you knew something that you spilled a hot milchiks on that spot today and then you eat a piece of meat, well, then you'd have a problem.
Only if it's clean or even if it's not so clean?
If it's not so clean, it's all then you have a problem, yeah.
And the eitza with putting the extra garbage bags in the garbage can, would that work for the outside garbage can too?
I don't think, because when the garbage don't take it, they'll throw them out. They'll spill them out. So you're not...
No, our garbage won't take anything that's not in the bag.
So if you, well, what use do you have? What are you going to do with it? You know, you're not using it for anything. In your house, you need to line the garbage can. So if you
theoretically,
outside, you line, that would be line. A tellus. But otherwise, well, you don't need them. So what's the point?
Right. I mean, theoretically, you could line the garbage can with them.
But we don't. It's not, you know.
Yeah. You're
taking the garbage out of the house to the can. You open the can to put it. Yes, because that's part of the problems with grass, shall we? We don't want it to smell. We don't want the animals to tear it up and throw it all over the place. If I don't keep the garbage cans with the real garbage, the lids securely closed, I'm going to wake up and have four huge raccoons in my backyard. Rabbi Seplowitz.
Yes. Oh, wait a second. Can you hear me?
I hear you.
Okay. If the extra garbage bags in the bottom of the garbage pail are not muktzah, so how do I put garbage into it on Shabbos? Isn't that Mavata Klimi Echano?
They were there before Shabbos. It was the Bitter Kli. Had garbage there before Shabbos. What's your problem?
I'm talking about during Shabbos to use one of those fresh bags to start putting
garbage. What's the problem? It was never a bosses. Never. It was not serving the mukta. It's not serving it. It's incidentally here. It's not to serve the mukta. It doesn't have it in bosses.
Okay. You have all the mukta with your present.
The Rav said something about the garbage bags that you put in, the empty garbage bags. There's a problem with opening garbage bags on Shabbos. Some of them are glued together or something, and you can't open them. So you open them before Shabbos. Would these bags that you put in to eliminate the muksa problem have to be opened?
Well, they have to be roy to be used. If they wouldn't be opened, then they wouldn't to serve any purpose.
Rabbi, David Graboid, I've heard two different things on Shabbos. For the first Yom Kippur, to say it or not to say it.
There are two views of it. There is a view that says that the second Yom Kippur and the Mishnah Berurah we don't say because those are tefillos which are clearly intended to be said in a public setting, in a communal setting. Whereas the first Mishnah Berurah does not have communal references. So there is a view that says the first one you could say privately. However, Chofetz Chaim does paskin like those that say that any tefillos that are Aramaic are not supposed to be recited by yechidus without a minyan. And that's the most common practice, and therefore we do not recite even the first group of program with us.
Thank you. Also, hello, Rabbi Sefcovic.
We want to have one walking kavua and ask for shakwas and a different walking. It's not the best thing to do. Again, if it's because that you, it's the best way to have kavona, then you can do it. Otherwise, I wouldn't. Hello.
On Friday night, if you're usually given a minyan, the davens, you know, mincha before shkia and ma'ariv right after shkia, is that an issue now, or should we wait a certain number of minutes before you daven Friday night?
It depends. If you have some huge rush, you know, to eat, so daven right after shkia. I mean, I tend now to be makbid even Friday night. I wait for this month. It says, and sometimes even for the ladies.
What would be considered this month? 50 minutes, 40 minutes?
I even sometimes wait 72. But, you know, as I said, they should wait at least 40 minutes. You know, if you mock but always in a bit of time, then wait 50 minutes. But, you know, again, it depends. Listen, if it has been a long Friday and your stomach is growling or your mother's waiting for you, then you shouldn't be doing such things, you know.
I mean, so then it's better, should you count Sfira then? No, you should wait completely. You just make a simon, summon to remind you to count Sfira.
Count the emphasis. Yes.
After 60.
Well, whatever you keep for taste. 40 is enough for this. You don't need to keep more than 4. It's real. Nando.
Going back to the garbage pails, if let's say garbage pickup is Yontif day, am I allowed to bring the pails out to the street on Yontif?
Well, I don't bring them out to the street. I bring them down the day before. And, you know, the recycling you could bring down on Yontif itself.
Going to run out of space over the course of Yontif, and then it's going to be disgusting.
So again, so bring out the extra bags straight to the front, the new bags that you have. Don't bring them, put them in there. Bring them straight out. Can be thrown out. Okay.
You can't kick them down.
Kick them down if you want. Not so easy.
On Yontif.
When I have a non-Jew working in the house, then I ask them to take them down. That's certainly what I have.
But you can kick it down yourself.
Yeah, a double breath.
So three day Yom Tov goes to Shabbos. The kids can't stay up so late, so you want them to make it early Shabbos, right?
Yes.
So can I mekabel Shabbos early? First of all, you couldn't mekabel Shabbos early in such a situation.
Let me explain. Normally, the normative practice is. You'll find there's a tshuva of the Minchas Yitzchak about it, that on the first day Yom Tov, we don't start, we don't daven Ma'ariv early on the first day of Yom Tov. There's a lot of reasons for it. However, in Siman Tovkuf Chav Zayin, there's a Mogen Avraham. And if you look at the Rav Shulchan Aruch spells it out in full detail, that on the day of an Erev Tavshilin, there's a special inyan to daven Ma'ariv early.
To prevent anything.
The two Garden Hills, many years ago, and the shul was packed to the rafters. It was standing room only. And after that, it took off. It took off in the neighborhood. It took off across the city of New York. Many, many kehillos copied it. And the reason is that with an Erev Tavshilin, you have to be finished cooking. The food has to be at least half cooked before Shkia Sachama comes. So the way to assure that is that they move Ma'ariv up before Tzeis, that made early. So you're going to come home and it's still daytime. So of course you're going to have the food ready. So this is a chumrah of the Mogen Avraham to dafka on a day of Erev Tavshilin to daven Ma'ariv early to do it, you know, and that's our practice and our basic necessity. That, you know, and unfortunately it didn't take place. But on the second day of Pesach, the minyan was slated, the marav was slated to be an early Shabbos minyan on that Friday. And that will be, as Hashem, if we're back in Shul on Shuas, which I hope we will be, so we're going to have, it's Friday and Shabbos, we'll have the same thing on Friday afternoon.
So now, Blamaisa, but now, when I was home, if I dive, if I'm
still an Indian, Shabbos, early, it's still an Indian. It was the same
No. So my Shaila is if I'm at Kabul Shabbos, you know, right after the Zman, by the early Zman, yeah. My question is, does my wife Kabul Shabbos once I'm at Kabul Shabbos, or does it work that when she lights, it's a Shabbos? Because usually if I...
Nechat chila, she should be Kabul Shabbos and you're Kabul Shabbos.
So she should light before I say Mizra Shalom HaShabbos.
Preferably. Rav Moshe wrote, was misupik in a tshuva about this, if the wife follows the husband or not. So he remained sorachi. It's a mechatchila kedai to do. And with the evidence, she asked her, she doesn't have to.
And in a city like Milwaukee, where you don't have a lot of minyanim, so you have one minyan in town like in Milwaukee. If they're Mekabel Shabbos, am I mechuyev to Mekabel Shabbos also?
So there's a famous tshuva of Rav Moshe. I don't want to go into it. Just another time we'll speak privately. I'll go into the lomdus. The lomdus is, he doesn't spell out the lomdus, but I have a whole lomdus for it. The lomdus is beautiful lomdus. But Rav Moshe says that if the reason that they're Mekabel Shabbos early is Lemigdar Milsa, to make sure that nobody's Mechalo Shabbos, the Aruch HaShulchan writes that until his time, they always, Baruch Hu, that you quote in the Magen Avraham, Baruch Hu Friday night was always before Shkia Sachar. To make sure that no one, even the latecomers, everybody made it by Baruch Hu, so there was no Kul Shabbos. And he decries the fact that in his time, they adopted all types of minyanim, where they daven mincha hard up against Shkia, and then they start afterwards, and the latecomers are Mechal Shabbos.
Uh-huh.
So Rav Moshe writes that if it's Lemigdar Milsa, is a tikkun not to be Mechal Shabbos, then you're mechuyev to keep. But if it's merely for convenience, then you're not mechuyev to keep. So the Horai, it's that way. If it was really intended Lemigdar Milsa in the winter, we should even be more makhuyev to daven early.
Right, right. Okay. Shkaya. Thank you.
Someone asked the question. Friday night, while we were diving at home, is there any reason not to have a suga right after Kabbal Shabbos and then daven Ma'ariv Bizman after the soup or after the meal? You eat in between Kabbal Shabbos.
You could do such a thing. It's a normative practice, you know. But you'd have to make some type of shomer, you know, put down something, you know, a siddur or something on your pillow, something to remind you. But you could conceivably do such a thing, yes. Nasi burger.
Now that Shabbos is ending later and later, I was trying to just, my son is 8 years old now, and I wanted to know, at what point do I have to now make, do I make Havdalah Sunday morning for him?
You don't should make Havdalah Sunday morning. No, the place can say.
Should I keep him up?
The tinnach for the mitzvah is when he's around for the mitzvah. It says, when there's a child, mechuyev and sukkah, when he wakes up and he doesn't call for his mother anymore, then you take him to the sukkah to sleep with you. And that's when he's physically mature enough to do what he's supposed to act in the fashion that he's supposed to do. If his bedtime is before Abdullah, then you're not mechuyev to be mechanech and Abdullah.
All right, thank you.
Richie, go on.
If a woman normally davens mincha and she forgets, is there an inyan of tashlumin that she should daven marv?
There's an inyan. I don't know if it's tashlum, but there's an inyan she should daven marv. She should have at least two things.
Is the shul here that davens Ma'ariv early second day Shavuos? They make early Yantav.
That's what I said. We're planning to do that too. If we're gonna, any day of Erev Tavshilin, you're allowed to do it.
They do it every year, no matter what. Second day Shavuos.
I'm not pleased with it. I don't know what to tell you to do. That's a different shmuz. You know, I'm not a fan of it. There's a lot of mechshelim in the Talmud. Besides, I don't think it's proper in and of itself. to do it on Yom Tov Rishon. But there's a lot of mechshelim that come from it.
They're not Yom Tov Rishon. Yom Tov Shein, the second day Shavuos, every year they do it.
What?
At
the end of the first day of Shavuos to do it.
Right, the second
night. I'm not a fan of it. That's all. I'm not telling you to go make a machlokes. No, also not that. You know. Richie Corker. Richie. Corker.
He's muted. You're muted.
So you hear me now? Yeah.
Now you're good.
Richie, go ahead.
Yeah, if a shliach tzibur forgets to say Yalav Yavo, would he be yotze when he repeats Shmon Esrei?
He's yotze when he repeats Shmon Esrei. Yes.
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 Okay.
Okay, Rabbi, it's been a pleasure. I look forward to this forum. It's so nice to see so many of you tonight.
Rabbi, should we dive in Ma'ariv now?
We can wait a little, or whatever. It depends what man you keep. You know,
no, I mean together with everybody.
But could you do Kiddush Levana say Shalom Aleichem on a Zoom, let's say? Just the Shalom Aleichem part?
Maybe. I can't see any fault in doing Shalom Aleichem on a Zoom. Someone wants to be into the Brocha, the Eved, because they can't make it over the Zoom, according to Ramesh, you're allowed to. So.
You don't say amen to a bracha over Zoom, right?
According to Ramesh, it would seem you could. So if you want to do it, you can. Okay. You can't do bracha for the future, it's not a million. No Kaddish, etc. Elliot Hest. Mendel's Lachman. Rabbi, it has been a pleasure. Enjoy the rest of this evening.
And thank you.
We shall see each other tomorrow.
Amen. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Also.